Blog Talk Radio.
December 10th, 2010. This is the Hermetic Hour. I'm your host, Poke Runyon. And tonight, we're going to teach you how to hypnotize yourselves and get started with Hermetic Yoga. And we're covering the theory and the practice of self-hypnosis and Hermetic Yoga. And we'll demonstrate some induction techniques on hypnosis. And I said in the abstract, I said, listen to my voice. You are completely relaxed. And so on. And then we'll go on to pranayama, yoga nidra, tratakam, and samadhi. It's really not as complicated as it sounds, but the jargon is intimidating. We'll also be taking calls tonight, so have some good questions ready. You can ask questions on anything we've covered in any previous show. And just give us a call. Our guest call-in number is 347-857-1830. I'll repeat that. 347-857-1830. So, now as you recall, we had a show on hypnosis, and we had my colleague and distinguished neo-pagan author Ann Finnan on, and she's taken several very good courses in hypnosis, and she's very, very proficient in the system, and quite a magician in her own right. And she and I discussed the theory and the background and some of the aspects of hypnosis in that show, and I believe we mentioned that I published in Llewellyn's Gnostica back in 1978. I published a landmark article on magic and hypnosis. This has since been translated into German, and it's been I don't know whether other languages it's been translated in, but it's gone all over the world. It's available in several places on the internet. We had it for a while on our website. We'll have it again available. This is an article that that really was the first time in this present occult revival that we pulled the veil away from this secret of ritual magic. And the secret, of course, is that hypnosis and self-hypnosis is really what makes magic, especially ritual magic, work. And we explained in the article, and I explained, and Ann and I both discussed in the show, that the people that write about magic and the magicians themselves for years and years and years just didn't want to admit this. They didn't want to they didn't want to deal with this because of the fearsome reputation that hypnosis had gotten as a result of the mesmeristic phenomenon back in the Victorian era, when we had these professional mesmerists. That's what they used to call them. Mesmerism is not exactly hypnosis, but very close to it. It was the earlier form. And these Svengalis would put on these stage demonstrations and salon demonstrations, and they were very effective, and they actually frightened people, and perhaps rightly so, because the powers that they demonstrated were actually very impressive and somewhat frightening. So as a result, especially in Victorian times with the stodgy Victorians, they didn't really want to concede that magic might be hypnotic, because hypnosis was, this was a way to control people and get them to do things against their will and all this sort of stuff. And actually, there's some truth in that, because when they finally, the medical profession finally decided to try to appropriate hypnosis, because it's a very valuable tool, especially in psychiatric medicine, it's a very valuable tool, and they wanted to be able to use it without this stigma against it. So they promoted the idea that, you can't hypnotize anybody to do anything against their will and all of that. And that, of course, we know that's not true. Hypnosis can be misused, very definitely. But it's still, regardless of that, it is what makes ritual magic work. And so, therefore, in this article of mine that I did in Gnostica in 1978, I pointed out, I was very honest about this. I said, yes, this is a very powerful technique, and it puts you in touch with the deep mind, and then from there, from the deep mind, you can reach out to the whole universe, according to our Hermetic way of looking at things, according to our magical field theory that we have, based upon Carl Jung and based upon the idea that, or in Hermetic science, that as above, so below, that man is a miniature of the greater universe, and that. That once you get into the deep mind, you can reach out to anywhere or to anybody or to anything in the universe with your power. Now, so hypnosis is what the magician uses. It's his technique. And philosophy, of course, his philosophy is Kabbalah, and his technique is hypnosis. And this article sort of broke the ground for that. And since then, a number of writers have agreed with me on that and have gone ahead and admitted it. There are a couple of holdouts. We have some magical writers that are still trying to deny this and still trying to indicate that, no, the mind is really not where most of this is going through and coming at and whatever. They're still trying to get away from this. But those that really know how to do this and how to practice this work are aware that hypnosis is it's the real force. It's the real power. It's something you, if you're going to be a magician, you have to be able to hypnotize yourself, and you have to be able to ritually hypnotize those you're working with. They, in turn, should also be facile with hypnosis themselves. And then this becomes a reciprocal kind of a thing. You're not taking advantage of them, because they are already hypnotized themselves. You're all participating in this sort of thing. And if they are equally as good at hypnosis as you are, there shouldn't be, providing you're all responsible and doing
things along traditional lines, there shouldn't be any question of controlling anybody's mind, because you are all in this together and you're all equally skilled and you're all equally attuned to this and you're all aware of it. Now that's if you're responsible with this whole thing, but you should be. Now, we are going to, we are moving in the associate member program, we're moving toward this in the next lesson. The next lesson that will be coming out, most of you in the associate member program already received the first lesson and all, but your next one that you're going to be getting shortly will be on hypnosis, self-hypnosis, and the beginnings of hermetic yoga. So this program is something that you're going to want to refer back to on that. What I'd like to point out here is that self-hypnosis is where you should start before you attempt to hypnotize anybody else. You should first learn to hypnotize yourself. So, in fact, in the East, in India and the Eastern countries, the hypnotist always hypnotizes himself before he attempts to hypnotize somebody else. So self-hypnosis is where you begin. Now, right now, I will recommend the book that we've used for years and years as our basic text for self-hypnotism. And you might want to write this down. It's called Self-Hypnotism, the Technique and Its Use in Daily Living. It's by Leslie M. LeCron. And LeCron is spelled LeCron. That's L, small e, capital C, small r, small o, and small n. Leslie M. LeCron. Now, this book first came out back in 1970. And it had just come out just when I got started. When I got started in the LTA and magic, so I grabbed a hold of this book. I'd already read Psycho-Cybernetics by Moss and a few other things, but this book had just come out, and I got it, and I thought it was really good. And since then, this self-hypnotism by LeCron has gone through I don't know how many printings. It may presently be out of print, but that's not going to keep you from getting a copy of it, because there are literally thousands and thousands of different editions of this same book available. So if you can't, if it's not right now in print, you can get it very, very easily in paperback from any number of online outlets. I'm sure Amazon and Barnes & Noble, Alberts, and they all have it. I would very, very much recommend you get it. It's a really, really good book. Now, one of the things about self-hypnotism that you should be aware of when you get into it, that this isn't just going to help you in magic. Well, in magic, it's essential. It's not going to just help you in magic. It's going to help you in everything. This self-hypnotism is something that every intelligent, success-oriented person, especially if you're going to school, if you have involved in any kind of work that requires your top performance and really any kind of challenging work that you're doing, self-hypnotism is something that everybody in a situation like that should certainly learn to do. You can use it to stop smoking, use it to lose weight, use it to get your life in order. You can use it to control all kinds of bad habits. You can use it to improve your motivation for study, improve your concentration, anything you want to do to improve yourself. This is one of the primary methods of self-improvement. So we're not suggesting you learn something that's going to screw you up. No way. This is going to put you in control of yourself. And so therefore, don't be afraid of it at all. This self-hypnotism is something that every intelligent, success-oriented person who really, really wants to get in control of themselves should be doing. So, with that in mind, you should actually look forward to this and do it even if you don't want to go into magic. But you should do this to improve yourself. Now, the way you do it, self-hypnosis. And I'm going to do this exactly the way I would do this, as if I had all of you sitting, at Rivendell on the couch and a few chairs, and you're listening to me, and I'm sitting out there on my yoga cushion, and I'm teaching a class. I'm going to do it just the same way. You can imagine me sitting there, with my turba in one hand and my ball around my neck and whatever, and you're sitting there listening to me, and I'm going to do it the same way. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to demonstrate to you exactly how to do this, and I'll describe it so you can tell what I'm doing here, and we're going to go right on through it, and so you'll know how to do it. Okay, here's what we do. I'm going to get up. I'm going to lie down on the floor. I put my head on a pillow, and I'm going to stare up at the ceiling. Now, on the ceiling, if you notice, up there on the ceiling, I have a paper circular dot. Now, that dot is stuck up there on the ceiling. It's white, about the size of a ping pong ball. And I have to actually look up over, I have to kind of look, keep my eyes up in my head and look back a little bit to see it. It's not directly above my eyes. It's a little bit back. It's a little bit about over the top of my head, so I have to look back up at it. Now, that's important because we found out that we're all through magic. You're going to realize that if you look up at whatever object you're looking at, crystal ball,
dot on the ceiling,
the blue flower, whatever it is you're looking up at, if you look up at something, it's going to be easier for you to get into that trance state rather than look down at something. So here I am. I'm lying here. And I'm looking back up at this dot on the ceiling, okay? And I'm looking back up at it. And now, you notice that my hands are down at my sides. I don't have my hands on my lap, and I don't have, and my feet are a little bit apart. I have my hands at my sides, and my hands are actually a little bit away from my body. And the reason for this is, what you want is maximum sensory deprivation. You don't want to be feeling yourself, okay? We want to, in hypnosis and in yoga, we want to be able to get away from ourselves and not be conscious of the body. So what we're going to do first is we're going to relax. And the best way to do that is to start off with a series of little exercises. Now, I'm going to raise my left foot a little bit up off the floor, maybe about a foot off the floor, and I'm going to point my toes, I'm going to squeeze all those muscles all the way down on my toe. There you go. I've got that foot up there. All the way from my hips all the way down and squeeze. Oh, I'm going to let it relax. I'm going to go on. I'll take the other leg. I took it up all about a foot, trying to get in. Getting it up about a foot and then point my toes and squeeze all those muscles. And, yeah, oh boy, and then let it down. And I'm going to arch my back. Yeah, all those little muscles. And then I'm going to roll my shoulders a little bit. Now I'm going to raise my left arm about a foot off the floor. I'm going to make a fist. And squeeze that fist. And I'm going to squeeze the arm all the way back up. And I'm going to let it relax. Ah, let it drop. Do the same thing with the right arm. And then I'm going to just roll my head around a little bit. And then I get my neck relaxed. And I work my jaw a little. And I'm relaxed. And my facial muscles. And I'm completely completely all the tension now is strained out, and my muscles are relaxed. And now I'm going to take, I'm still looking up at this dot now, seeing this dot on the ceiling, okay? So now I'm going to breathe in through my nose real deep. Well, I'm going to pot breathe. And what I mean by that is I'm going to breathe all the way down into my stomach. And then I'm going to hold it, and the stomach will come up, and let it out my mouth. It's a fire breath, by the way. And then I'm going to breathe in again, take another deep breath. Hold it, and let it out. I'm going to do this again, and then I get completely relaxed. And now I'm still looking up at the dot. I'm going to swallow whatever saliva I might have in my mouth, whatever, you know, and then I'm going to start talking to myself. Now, this is very important in self-hypnosis that you talk to yourself, and you refer to yourself, your subconscious, as you. Don't ever call your subconscious me or I or whatever. You talk to your subconscious as you, because you treat your subconscious as a separate being, which actually is a pretty good analogy of what your subconscious is, because your subconscious, there's a real difference between you and your subconscious, as you're going to learn. It's yours, but so you talk to the subconscious as you. It's a being inside you, okay? Now, say, so you're looking way up, you know, up towards your eyebrows, looking up at that white dot, you see. Now, you're listening to my voice, and you're completely relaxed. Completely and thoroughly relaxed. I want you to think about your feet. I want you to think about your feet. And your consciousness down on your feet, and you draw that consciousness up towards your ankles, and as you draw your consciousness up towards your ankles, your feet become detached and numb, relaxed, and all the feelings going out of your feet, and you bring that consciousness up through your ankles and up into your calves, and all your calves are becoming soft and heavy, like melted wax. And you bring your consciousness up through your knees, all the way up through your knees, into your thighs, leaving your knees and your thighs completely relaxed, like soft, heavy, melted wax. And then that consciousness is going to go up through your hips. the muscles and the ligaments in your hips and your pelvic region is all completely and totally relaxed. All the tension is gone from the small of your back. It's all drained away. Now, one of the important things that you have to realize that I'm instructing now, one of the things you realize is that when you get hypnotized yourself or anybody else, you never say it's going to happen. You always say it is. It's not going to, because if you say going to, then it won't get there. It already is. All the tension is drained out of the back, out of your small of your back. All the tension is drained out of the small of your back. And that feeling of relaxation is going on up your backbone. And all of the ligaments and all of the muscles on the back are relaxed, completely relaxed. And your internal organs are all relaxed, like soft melted wax. And attention is going on up. Attention's gone. And the feeling of relaxation is going up into your chest, relaxing all the muscles in the chest. And all the muscles in the shoulders. That feeling of relaxation is going on down your arms all the way to your fingers, relaxing them completely. The muscles in your forearm are relaxed, totally relaxed. And your biceps are relaxed, and your arms are completely relaxed like soft melted wax, and your shoulders are getting very, very relaxed. And your shoulders are now relaxed, totally, completely relaxed, heavy and relaxed, and totally like soft melted wax. All the tension is drained out of the back of your neck, and your head is heavy, and your jaw is relaxed. And all the muscles of your face are relaxed, completely and thoroughly relaxed. And you're listening to my voice, and you're staring up at the dot on the ceiling, and you're listening to my voice, and you're completely and totally relaxed. And you want to go into a deep hypnotic sleep. And you're going to go into a deep hypnotic sleep. You're going deeper and deeper into hypnotic sleep. You're looking up at the white dot on the ceiling. And your eyelids are getting heavier. As I count from 1 to 10, your eyelids will get heavier with each count. Until finally they will close and you will be in a deep hypnotic sleep, but you will hear my voice and you will follow my instructions. 1, your eyelids are heavy, you're staring up at the dot, you are very, very sleepy. 2, your eyelids are heavier. You're staring up at the dot. You're very sleepy. You want to go into a deep sleep. 3, your eyelids are half closed. You're listening to my voice, and you want to go deep into sleep. 4, you're very, very sleepy, and you want to go deep into sleep. Your eyelids are heavy. 5, you're going deep and deep. You're looking up at the dot on the ceiling and you're getting sleepier and sleepier. 6, your eyelids are just about a little more than halfway closed. You're getting very, very sleepy. 7, your eyelids are very heavy. And when you finally close them, you'll be in a deep hypnotic sleep. 8, you're very, very sleepy. You're going into a deep hypnotic sleep. 9, your eyelids are almost closed. you're listening to my voice. You're in your sleepier and sleepier. 10, your eyelids are closed and you're in a deep hypnotic sleep and you're listening to my voice. Now your left arm is very, very light. Your left arm is very, very light. Floating up off of the floor. Your left arm is floating up off of the floor. Floating up and up. It's floating up just like light as a feather. It's floating up and up and up. Up and up and up. It's floating like a feather. Now it's getting heavy again. And as it sinks down, you go deeper and deeper and deeper into a hypnotic sleep. Going deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper as your arm sinks down. Deeper and deeper into a hypnotic sleep. And you're listening to my voice. Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. And now you're deep and deep. You're deep and deep into hypnotic sleep. And now I want you to listen very carefully to my instructions. Whatever I tell you, you will perform and you will do. I'm going to awaken you, and when I awaken you, you are going to be refreshed, and you're going to be invigorated, and you will be enthusiastic and anxious to learn your magical exercises, and you will want to learn and progress in magic. And you will be very proficient at all your yoga instruction. And now, I'm going to count from 1 to 3. And as I count up, you will become more and more conscious. You'll return to the conscious to consciousness. And you will remember and recall instructions, and you will follow them. 1, consciousness returning, feelings returning to your body. 2, your eyes are fluttering open. 3, you're fully awake and alert. Now, that's the example, and that's pretty much the way to do it. Now, the effect of this, if you do it correctly, first time your arm starts to lift like that, you're liable to be surprised. You know, you say this, you do it, you're in this trance, and then sure enough, your arm starts to float right up off the floor, and you're going to be in it. You'll be able to do it, and this is easy to do. It's it's a tremendously powerful technique. And what the advantage here is actually threefold, because what we'll develop with this, you talking to you, in other words, you talking to your subconscious out loud, you're developing an ability to use this same voice of yours in ritual. So when you go into the temple or into your wherever you're going to do your magical operations, when you start talking, you've already accustomed yourself to talking to your subconscious out loud as a separate person. Now, you really, when you think about it here, if the spirits are going to contact you through your deep mind, which they do, then this is the way to talk to them. And this is the way they will talk to you. Because, you know, you can ask your subconscious questions, and your subconscious will answer you. with your own voice. Yeah, separate, ask your subconscious when you're in trance, ask your subconscious a question, and it'll answer you. So this is the way that you communicate with the spirits. And this is the way that you do what the New Agers call channeling. Now, you know, back before we really rediscovered these methods and really got perfecting them, people who did channeling were supposed to be very exceptional clairvoyants. I mean, these people, oh boy, you know, they channel, they would. I remember going to one of these New Age channeling things, and here's this woman prancing around, acting like she was a Hindu guru, and you know, that was supposed to be, people thought that was amazing, but that's not amazing at all to a trained magician, because this is what you're doing. You're in trance, and the spirit will use your voice, but you have to learn self-hypnosis in order to be able to do this. And yeah, this amazing ability that we have, to where I can be operating and I'm sitting behind a receiver who's sitting in front of the triangle with a mirror on it, and the receiver's looking into the mirror, and I'm the operator, and I'm behind her or him, and we've got the spirit, we're in contact, and so the receiver's looking at the spirit, the distorted reflection in the mirror, and I will say, Pedro Malius, what do you think of the future situation? And out of the receiver's voice, out of the receiver's mouth, will come Andrew Malius's voice, and he will say, oh, I think that will be resolved itself. And then I will say to the receiver, I will say, well, Frater Johannes, is Admiral Malius still strong for you? And, oh, I'm still in contact. Well, Admiral Malius, you still here? Yes, I'm still here. Okay, and then, so then we got it. Here's a three-way conversation going on. Now, I mean, I know this sounds fantastic, but this is what this will do for you. So this is something you have to learn how to do. But it's fun, and it will give you an ability. I used to smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day, and I never could have quit when I did. And I'd be dead now if I hadn't, if it wasn't for self-hypnosis. This is a wonderful, wonderful skill, whether you're going to be a magician or not. But if you're going to be a magician, you've got to learn it. Now, let's say something else about this, too. Several OTA members, including myself, spent a year with the Sakya Order on a weekly basis training with Tibetan lamas, doing the Vajrayogini program, the Vajra program. We got hands-on instruction in English, by the way, translated in English, that frankly, my anthropology professor, Doc Ravitz, who's passed on now, he told me when he first got in this program, and he'd been over to Dharamsala several times, he said, you guys are getting something that a few years ago people would have killed to get what you're getting. And we were very lucky. We were very, very fortunate that we had a whole year of this kind of training. But, you know, and we gained a lot out of that. A lot of that I'm going to share with you. But we could do something here in the West. We have an ability to do something in magic that the Tibetans don't do. That is, we do what we're talking about, standing up in the circle, in the temple, doing these things physically, using this equipment, and we are in the trance, and we are receiving the spirits, and we are doing this. And they do everything sitting down in an asana. Everything they do is, well, you know, when they put on a seasonal or something like that, yeah, they're doing it. They're acting out a magical play or something like we do too. But essentially, their magic is all sedentary. But because of our self-hypnosis and hypnosis techniques, we can do these things standing up around the altar, standing up around, you know, in the city. Well, now we sit at the triangle. We used to stand up, but we have an ability actually that they don't have, and so I just emphasize over and over and over again. If you're really going to do this, self-hypnosis is something you just got to do. You have to learn to do it. Now, let's get on into the yoga end of this. And yoga is also very, very important in magic, in modern magic anyway. There was in the old Kabbalah, Abu Lafia, who was a very much of a practical mystical Kabbalist, he had a kind of a yoga, and that was back in the 1500s, I believe. He had a kind of a yoga, and the Kabbalists would sit there and they would nod back and forth like an Orthodox Jewish person praying. You know, they do this over and over again, and so they had a kind of a yoga, and so there were some approaches to this sort of thing in the West, but really the art of yoga, art science of yoga, is primarily an Indian and a Tibetan and a Mongolian thing. I mean, and the Chinese, of course, have their versions of it. But this is primarily, as I say, an Indian thing. Now, yoga has an overlap with hypnosis. There are aspects of yoga which are certainly hypnotic. And yet, we're really talking about two different systems here, and both of these are important in magic. Now, one of the first things, one of the first aspects of yoga that is very important in our type of ceremonial magic, visionary ceremonial magic, one of the techniques of yoga that you will get into first, and we'll get into it very, very soon as you start your training, is what is referred to as Tratakam. And Tratakam is the yoga of concentration. And this is very, very close and interrelated to hypnosis. Now, we especially use this in magic. We especially use it in invocation. And, of course, it also works in evocation, too. Any conjuration device that you stare at, you need to, before you get into that, you need to have done several hours. I would say maybe at least 10 hours of Tratakam before you start trying to seriously invoke with a crystal or evoke with a dark mirror. And the reason for that is this. You need to know, without consciously having to tell yourself, you need to know how to look at something. You need to know how to, as Don Juan told Carlos Castaneda, and this is the best way to put it, you need to know how to do the doing of not doing. That's the way Don Juan put it. You need to know how to do it and not do it. And what he meant by that is this. You need to know how to look at something without getting interested in it, without analyzing it, without thinking about it, without exploring it, without letting it play games with you. You need to know how to look at a magical conjuration device. And the only way you're going to learn to do that is just to sit down and practice it. And you have to do that. Because the mind, the monkey, especially the little monkey in the mind, you're looking at this thing. And especially if you stare at something for any length of time, it's going to start playing optical tricks on you. And there's a number of technical reasons for this. The visual purple in the eye and the retina of the eyes begins to, all this kind of stuff. We could go on and on about why the eyes do what they do and all. You have to ignore that. You have to have it. This is a mindset. You have to have a very calm mind. And yet at the same time, you can't have your senses dulled. Your senses, like hypnosis, hypnosis is not dull concentration. Hypnosis is sharpened concentration. Now, a person who really knows about hypnosis knows this, but this is hard to realize because it seems like in hypnosis that you're very relaxed and all that, but No, but actually, the mind is tremendously focused. But the mind is focused one-pointedly. This is important. You have to achieve this one-pointed, magnificently stupid concentration. You can't intellectualize about it. You can't analyze it. You have to have this focus, and it has to be and it should be an unblinking focus too. One of the ways you can tell a magician. A magician is a guy that looks at you and doesn't blink. And that freaks some people out, I'll tell you. But after you've stared long enough at conjuration devices and mandalas and practice the yoga and the exercises that we do, you get to where you don't blink. In fact, I have to avoid to tell myself, well, either I better blink or I better not look this person directly in the eye. And so you need to develop this by sitting in your asana and staring at an object. Now, when we go in the Book of Solomon's Magic, we got an idea from our yoga book that we were recommending. That's Fundamentals of Yoga by Ramutri Mishra. That's been out of print for quite a while, and you still find it. It's a good book. We recommended that. He had a thing he called the Samadhi Lamp, and we built one of those, and it was very effective. Oh, boy, it's tremendously effective. You ought to build one. If you're in experiment with it, you really will. You find it's very effective. But the problem with it is that you got to have an overhead light fixture, and it takes a little doing to produce this thing. So we finally decided that we would get away from that and go to a Raja Yoga technique that I learned from Oberon Suisio, a Raja Yoga technique where you sit and you stare at a small imitation pearl. You put it down on a piece of black felt, and you just stare at it. And you know, after you do a little prowling on one thing or another, and you stare at this pearl, and you just keep staring at it, and I won't go into all the little nuances of it, but you don't let the pearl entertain you. You don't let the pearl dance around. You don't let it do anything. You just stare at it. And try as hard as you can, without trying, not to think of anything, and just stare at it. And do this for 15 minutes at a sitting, and then count your breaks. In other words, count the times on your mala. And mala, by the way, that's a Buddhist rosary. You count the interruptions that you have. And especially while you're doing this, don't think about a hippopotamus. I mean, that's one thing you just can't think about that. And then after, you know, about a week of this, maybe 15 minutes day staring at this pearl on this black felt, you will have, several things you're liable to happen, but you will, along with whatever phenomenon occurs, you will definitely have your triticom under control. You'll know how to stare at a conjuration device. This will train you to do it. Now, this is one of the basic yoga techniques. Let's go a little further on this yoga thing. There are a few things you should know about yoga. Yoga, number one, is usually done from a sitting position called an asana, where you sit on a hard, a stiff horsehair cushion that we use, round stiff horsehair cushion, and you tuck your legs under you, cross leg, and you sit, and you have to sit with your back straight. And I can't emphasize this too much. You have to keep your back straight. And you have to keep that spine straight. Now, there's a reason, a very good reason for this. The reason is that in yoga, the energy has to pass up and down the spine, and it cannot be impeded. It has to pass up and down the spine. If you line that spine up like a ramrod, you will do infinitely better. Now, the next thing you have to learn, after you learn how to sit, is you have to learn how to breathe. And breathing is not all that difficult, but you better learn it right to start with, because breathing in yoga is very, very, very important. And this is what we refer to as pranayama. In other words, the control of it's controlled yoga breathing. You breathe all the way down into your stomach. I know you can't breathe into your stomach, but it seems like you can. In other words, you breathe all the way down, and then you kind of inflate your stomach. Then you lift your shoulders as you continue to breathe through your nose. You lift your shoulders up, and this enables you to get more air into your lungs than you would ordinarily be able to do. And then when you get your lungs completely filled, then you drop your shoulders, and then you hold it for, you start out with maybe four second count, and then let it out, and then let it all the way out, and then all the way down, deep in, suck your stomach in, blow it all the way out, and then hold on the void for about 4 seconds, and then do it all over again. Repeat the cycle. Breathe in all the way down into your stomach and all the way up into your chest, and raise your shoulders all the way up to your earlobes, and then get your chest completely full, and then drop your shoulders, and then hold it. And you keep doing this. Now, by the way, when the Saki order came over here, those were used to doing at a bare minimum 100 reps of everything. They did 100 reps of everything. That's Tibetan style. There's 100 beads on the mala, and that's what they do. They said, Americans, they can't put up with that. So we'll make them do 22 of everything. That's all they can handle. So that's good, because we have, the 22 paths and all that sort of stuff. So 22 is a good number. And so that's all we Americans can handle. But you better darn well do 22 of your pranayama cycle. Absolutely. 22 of your pranayama cycle. And at that point, by the time you get that done, you got your lungs saturated, you will be in a very interesting altered state from which you can... This is something you'll experience. You find you've oxygenated yourself and your brain, and you will really find that you've gotten somewhere with it. Now, you're into a different state. Yoga Nidra, by the way, is a yoga state which you lose contact with your body. It's similar to that form of anesthesia that we went through with the self-hypnosis. It's similar to that, where you lose touch with your body, you lose touch with the feeling in the body. The Samadhi state is a trance, is a yoga trance state. These are terms that I used in the abstract when I got started. Now, you need to learn, to start off with the yoga, you really do need to learn pranayama. You need to learn your asanas. You need to learn the basic forms of this. Yoga now is vitally important to us because we have managed to finally break this this bollocked up idea that we had that we here in the West that we couldn't use our tree of life as a chakra analog. We felt we were stuck with the Hindu tantric analog, and there's a number of reasons. I think I discussed that when we did our show on Hermetic Yoga. There's a number of reasons why we felt we had that we couldn't really convert the tree of life to our chakra system. But that's all been overcome now. We know that's no longer the case, and so we now have an integrated Western psychic center system, which is vastly superior to trying to do it the way it was done before. In other words, do the chakras in relation to the paths of the tree of life. The chakras are in relation to the spheres. That's the way they should be, and that's the way we do it now. And I went into some of the theory behind this before. I won't do it now. However, now that we have this, we now have all the advantages that the Eastern magicians have. We've got all of that advantage, but I want to stress one thing for sure. That's where the real power in yoga, in magic in yoga, comes from, and that's being able to develop the gods and the planets within. This is where the Eastern magician has his power. This is where this is what we've been striving for in the West, and we haven't been able to achieve until recently. We now have it. But you have to learn your basic yoga in order to take advantage of this. So be sure and start learning it. Now, if you can find Mishra's book, I would certainly get it. That's Fundamentals of Yoga by Ramutri Mishra. And we've only got a few minutes left. This gets you started in yoga, and it gets you started in self-hypnosis, and it's certainly, you know, from a practical point of view. Now, I'm going to be sending out to the associate member people, I'm going to be sending out a lesson that involves material we've been covering tonight, and so you'll be getting that. That'll be coming out shortly. Now, next week, what we're going to do, right along the line of what we're talking about now, we're going to start discussing Malkuth and Yasod. We're going to start going up Muladhara, and that's Malkuth, and we're going to start working our way. We're going to work our way up the tree and up the chakras, and we're going to talk more about Hermetic Yoga and how to get it going. Okay, so that's what's on tap for next week, and that'll be back on Thursday. We'll be back on Thursday, this coming Thursday, so be sure to tune in, and good magic.